ओम ज्ञानच निरंधस्य ज्ञानं जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Is a great blessing. So, in this verse, Lord Krishna is discussing what is the kind of intelligence that fixes us in Krishna consciousness. We come here for understanding Krishna, not just for fun, not for understanding Krishna, just for fun. Is it? No, for fun.
Fun.
Not just for fun.
I don't know what to do.
Fun means having a good time, having a fun. We come here to understand Krishna. So what is the kind of determination that carries us to the state of full Krishna consciousness? Because now we're in Krishna consciousness. At least our bodies are here. But our mind has the tendency to be everywhere else except here. We have a very imaginative mind, which can offer us all kinds of ideas except surrender to Krishna. So what is the consequence of Krishna? Now here Krishna says, someone who's on the path right to Godhead, what is his determination? His determination is unbreakable. In other words, he's decided that I've got to go back to Godhead. No more rotting in this material world. Now, that determination, sometimes people, they make such a determination. They are suffering so much in material life. They come to Krishna and say, okay, Krishna, I surrender. I've had enough. I've been kicked enough by Maya, and now I surrender to you. But after some time, they find life is quite nice in Krishna consciousness. Many of the mental anxieties go away. When the problems go away, the determination also goes away. So this is not the kind of determination that Krishna is talking about here. Krishna is talking about the determination which is sustained with steadfastness by yoga practice. That means someone who sincerely and seriously takes the decision to be Krishna conscious. Then he makes a plan how to spend his life. That means he can't make too much stronger plan, because any time death can come. So we should be ready for that. But at the same time, considering that every day we're getting up, we pass one day, 24 hours. So if I'm to live, how am I to live? We should make a plan. How to live in Krishna consciousness. So how to live in Krishna consciousness means to live so that the activities of the mind, the life and the senses are all engaged in Krishna consciousness. As Krishna says, Manmana, Abhalabhato, think of me, become my devotee. As Prabhupada says in the purport of this Manmana verse, life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. So actually the path back to Krishna is not very difficult to follow. If we simply engage in the activities of this Krishna consciousness movement, surely we will become purified. There's nothing very difficult to rise early in the morning, chant Hare Krishna, attend the temple programs, engage in the service of Krishna. But then we may ask that, well, if Krishna consciousness is so easy and so nice, then why is it that some people come and again they go away? The clue is given in this verse, that their determination is not clear. It means that attitude in Krishna consciousness is not 100% correct. As Prabhupada writes in the preface to the Nectar of Instruction, one very important line he has given, that advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. Yesterday in Saratov we were discussing in some detail one name of Krishna. That name, Bhavagrahi Janardana, means Krishna, he accepts what is the mood of the offering. Krishna can see our heart. He knows if we're serious or not. And as we approach him, so he reciprocates with us. Now, of course, what is the correct attitude in devotional service? This could be discussed in great detail. But there was two particular points in the speaking of this concern. These are sentimentalism and fanaticism. As Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita, religion without philosophy is sentimentalism or sometimes fanaticism. Now, what does this mean? What does sentimentalism mean? What does fanaticism mean? Actually, neither. If one is sentimental in Krishna consciousness or fanatical in Krishna consciousness, these things are not intrinsically bad.
Intrinsically
means they're not
completely.
Yeah, intrinsically is a better word. They're not completely bad. Sentimental means he feels, or he sees a picture of Krishna and he feels very nice. He hears the chanting, it's very nice. It means sentimental attraction without any deep commitment or knowledge. And fanatic means just thinking that, I'm Krishna conscious, I'm the best, everyone else is nonsense. Now, of course, to be a sentimentalist or a fanatic in Krishna consciousness is better than being completely devoid of Krishna consciousness. But to be either sentimental or fanatical is not a good platform for making further progress in pure Krishna consciousness. Both the sentimentalist and the fanatic are neophyte devotees. Not only are they neophytes, but they are not very good candidates for making further advancement. Now, sentimentalism, let us discuss this in a moment. If we go to India, we'll find that almost everybody is Krishna conscious to some extent. As Prabhupada more than once said, he said, everyone in India is Krishna conscious. Just as you see, when we have our Janmashtami functions, literally hundreds of thousands of people are coming. Today, about 1 million people visit our temple on Janmashtami day. Coming and going throughout the day. So a feeling is there for Krishna. No, but that doesn't mean everyone is a pure devotee. That feeling for Krishna is good. As Prabhupada said in one letter, he said that my disciples, probably they were all Indians in their last life. So that feeling of attraction for Krishna is very good. But that has to be developed more. If someone has a sentimental feeling, but he doesn't learn the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and he cannot make much advancement. Worse is if he thinks that the sentimentalism is already advanced. He's already advanced just by that sentiment. Worse than that is if someone, they just have a sentiment and they think that's already the advanced stage. To be really advanced in Krishna consciousness means to be free from all material desires and completely surrender to Krishna. Sometimes people wonder, why is Prabhupada preaching so strongly? Because they think that saintly people should just speak very mildly and nicely. We're already harassed in material life, and we go to see the Swamiji thinking we can get some relief. But instead of getting relief, we get some harsh words from him also. But those harsh words of these sadhus are meant to cut away our material attachments. Our ultimate goal of life is to dance with Krishna in Vrindavan. There's no question of dancing with Krishna in Vrindavan as long as we have lust, greed, envy, anger, all these bad things in our hearts. So a spiritual teacher should show people this is the goal of life. That is the attractive. That is the attractive thing. But if he neglects to teach his followers how to be free from lust, greed, anger, envy, all these things, and he's not teaching them. This is the danger. In India, you will find there are many nice speakers. They speak very nicely about Krishna. And sometimes hundreds of thousands of people go to listen to them. I've seen they make a huge arrangement with huge tents and closed circuit TV because everybody can't see the speaker at such a distance. Because they have 100,000 people listening to one lecture. So they have close circuit. So such speakers are very popular because they talk all nice things about Krishna. You know. They sing a few songs with them. And everyone says, oh, very nice. But the speaker will never teach them how to get rid of their material attachments. If he did, no one would come to listen to him. So if you want to be popular, you can be very cheap. You can make a show of being very advanced by speaking on very high topics. And many sentimental people who are not actually sincere or serious about Krishna consciousness will be attracted. So you might think, why am I speaking about these things? I'm not in India anymore, now I'm in Russia, so I should speak what is relevant for Russia. But this is very relevant for Russia also, because the same tendencies are everywhere. Sometimes devotees may think, well, why should I do all this hard work, getting up early in the morning, taking cold baths, going on book distribution? I think it's much better just to imagine I'm advanced and just make some kind of delusion in my mind that I'm advanced. So when laziness combines with sentimentalism, this is the kind of attitude I have. If he wants to sleep, he can go to the ashram. Otherwise, don't sit against him. If he wants to sleep, let him go. So we should be very careful about this kind of false sentimentalism. We should be very serious for our sadhana. Study the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Don't artificially think ourselves more advanced than we are. Because simply imagining ourselves to be advanced will not bring us to the actual goal of life. So that sentimentalism comes when we don't carefully study the philosophy. You'll find in this Bhagavad Gita,
Lord Krishna, just like here, we're reading about determination and Lord Krishna. Practically, this analysis of the three modes of material nature takes up maybe 30% of the Bhagavad Gita. So much analysis. What is happiness and goodness, passion, and ignorance? What is faith in goodness, passion, and ignorance? What is food in goodness, passion, and ignorance? Krishna gives so much analysis just so that we can understand that we have to discriminate in spiritual life. Means we have to understand everything according to what is given in scripture. That not to take things cheaply or sentimentally, but to understand Shastra Chakshusha, through the Shastra. So to come into them, sentimentally. The other manifestation, or any other manifestation of taking to Krishna consciousness without proper understanding is narcissism. Just like some religionists, people we meet of different religious persuasions, they say, no, no, I can't look at your book because I'm a Christian, Muslim, whatever. They just presume that I'm right and everything else is wrong. Without consideration, without philosophy, they think because I think it's right, then it must be right. So, this is not wanted in Krishna consciousness. It's the fact that Krishna consciousness is the ultimate pinnacle of religious understanding. And it's the fact that our philosophy is also very strong. Here in the Gita, Krishna says, Dho bhuto sarga-loka-sarga-loka-srim, daiva-asura-evacham. There are two kinds of people, devotees and demons. But that doesn't mean that we have to take the position of Kalki Avatar. That is not our duty. The duty of Kalki Avatar is to kill all the demons. But that is not our duty. Our duty is to serve in the Sankirtan movement. Serving the Sankirtan movement means to spread Sankirtan, to encourage others to take part in chanting Hare Krishna. By chanting Hare Krishna, all the demoniac desires will be destroyed. Jeto, Dharatama, Marjana. By chanting of Hare Krishna, all the bad things in the heart are cleansed. But we see that sometimes devotees in Krishna consciousness, they also take up a kind of fanatical mood. They think what I'm doing is right, I'm a great devotee, and everyone else is nonsense. Just like sometimes brahmacharis say, all the grihasthas are completely useless. If we look at them, even they become polluted. Usually the brahmacharis who have this kind of attitude, they get mad. Not usually, but always. Because they're fanatical. And that fanaticism is a kind of offense. Instead of seeing that here are people who are trying to be Krishna conscious, they see, oh, they're not as Krishna conscious as me, as they are much more than me. This movement is meant for spreading to the whole human society. Whole human society means we can't expect that everyone is going to be a brahmachari. If everyone becomes a brahmachari, then who are the brahmacharis going to distribute books to anyone? We're going out and distributing books, why? So that people will take up chanting Hare Krishna. So when people start to chant Hare Krishna, we have to encourage them to chant Hare Krishna. Sometimes some devotees have a fanatical attitude. Unless they immediately drop everything and take sannyas and leave their families and become a brahmachari like me, then they're completely useless. They don't follow sadhana like me, then they're completely useless. This is not what Lord Chaitanya says. We find in Chaitanya Charitamrita that one Brahmin, he met Lord Chaitanya as Lord Chaitanya was traveling preaching in South India. And this Brahmin, Kurma Brahmana, he said, actually I'm completely fed up of family life. So let me leave it and I'll follow you and take sannyas. Lord Chaitanya refused. He said, stay here and preach. You remain a householder and preach. Also, Srila Prabhupada, of course, he has so many householders. Now, of course, it's a fact that householders, they cannot be expected to follow as strictly as brahmachari. Because they have social and family responsibilities. Mostly householders are very busy. They have some job to do to earn money. Therefore, they can't engage full-time directly in the Sankirtan movement as brahmacharis. Which is why we always recommend to brahmacharis that you don't get married, because married life is simply a diversion. But at the same time, we understand that not everyone who joins our movement as a brahmachari can stay brahmachari forever. Many people who join or who become interested in Krishna consciousness are already married. So we have to encourage all of the devotees, those who are brahmacharis, they're very fortunate to have the chance to engage fully in Krishna consciousness. Brahmachari has no anxiety. He can sleep anywhere. He can be satisfied with whatever little prasad he gets. All he has to do is engage in the service of Guru and Krishna 24/7. Very blissful life. And by following that, if he stays brahmachari, it's very easy to go back to Guru. But if he becomes fanatical and thinks, now I'm so much better, and all the other devotees, they're all useless. And because of that fanatical, offensive attitude, then he won't make proper progress in Krishna consciousness. This fanaticism sometimes manifests in different ways. This fanaticism basically means just thinking I'm the best and having a very arrogant attitude towards me. Proud or conceited. Other examples, sometimes devotees think, I'm distributing books, and unless someone distributes books, they're just completely useless. That is another misunderstanding. There's no doubt that Srila Prabhupada emphasized the importance of book distribution, but he also wanted so many other programs to go on. The same point, whoever can engage in book distribution, they're very fortunate. And we should push on this book distribution with great enthusiasm and determination. But at the same time, if someone who's engaged in book distribution develops a proud attitude towards other devotees, then that is a fanaticism which will lead eventually to his downfall. Another example of fanaticism is someone thinks, oh, my guru is great, and other people's gurus, they're not very good. It's all the same attitude as the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul always thinks, I am the best. Dog thinks, I am the best dog. The cockroach thinks, I am the best cockroach. And they make so many competitions to show who can be the best. Who is the best football player? Who is the best rock star? Who is the best chess player? Just people want to show, I am better than you. That is not our Vaishnava philosophy. Our Vaishnava philosophy is to try our best to serve Guru and Krishna. But our attitude is, that we should be very humble in that sense. We should try to do a very serious service to Krishna, and at the same time maintain a very humble attitude. So how does that humility come? Same point, we should try to understand that philosophy. If we understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, then we will understand what is our actual position. Our actual position is that we have all fallen. That's why we're in this material world. Yeah. Some devotees come to this world from Vaikuntha to lift others up. None of us in this room are in that category. We are all in the category of those who need picking up. We're all fallen. We're insignificant. We may think, I'm such a great devotee. So we think we're better than Nathalani. We're better than Nanda Maharaj. We're better than Prabhupada. It's all crazy ideas. So by studying this philosophy, as given in Prabhupada's books very carefully, then we can understand what is our actual position. We're simply running on the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So this requires some maturity in Krishna consciousness. It's not surprising if neophytes in Krishna consciousness are sentimental or fanatical. But we shouldn't think that the sentimentalism, we shouldn't mistake that sentimentalism or fanaticism for actual advancement. Actual advancement that may come after some time when we have entered very peacefully into Krishna consciousness. When we've made our strong determination never to turn back from Krishna consciousness. When we've chanted the holy name carefully, many, many times, when we actually start to become free from lust, greed, and so let us consider very carefully these statements of the Bhagavad Gita. Let us be neither sentimental nor fanatical, but have clear vision in Krishna consciousness. Clear vision means Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, Bhakya, Chitati, Kariya, Aitra, Arna, Parigamaya. Whatever we receive in Parampara, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, that we should accept fully. This is the path of success in Krishna consciousness. And Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Is there any question? So you can say any notes.
You saw from the lecture that Guru is just Krishna consciousness. He's really not. My definition. Determination. Yeah. But actually, in this age, we are actually crazy. We cannot understand our position. Before, what Tanya said was that you simply be convenient to pay this mercy. Okay.
And what does that mean?
Simply be agree to receive.
That simply agree means you have to be determined to follow the regular procedure. Not that I'll simply sleep all day and eat meat and drink wine and break all the, and I'll just mercy. There's some qualification to receive that mercy. It's like in the Catholic Church, they say it was a Kyrie eleison. They have that in the Russian Orthodox Church. Kyrie Latin. Kyrie eleison. Oh Lord, have mercy. It's one famous term. So they go to church and pray, but before they go into the church, they're all smoking cigarettes. Yeah. When they come out, they go to the bar And then they go from the bar and go home and eat meat. So how did he get the mercy? And if mercy is the only factor, why do we have so many books? Books are there so we can understand the philosophy.
Just a question. So we shouldn't think that mercy is just some kind of white light, which actually in the temple room in Saratov we had a picture of Krishna blessing Arjuna. Some light was coming down on Arjuna. Did you see this? But just I'll sit here and some white light will descend on my head, and then that's all my problems. Just like some nonsense so-called spiritualists, they say that simply the guru touches you, and then an electric shock comes into your body. And then that's your spiritual, that's it, then you're self-realized. Krishna never told Arjuna, just get ready, I'm going to give you an electric shock. Krishna told Arjuna, you should hear from me. And after explaining so much philosophy to Arjuna, he said, now are you ready to follow my instructions? Krishna says, you can follow or not follow, it's up to you. Then the Krishna says, if you follow, then you'll be saved. And if you don't follow my instructions, then you're doomed. And what did Arjuna say? It's very interesting. Nashto moha smriti alanta tat prasadat maya shuka. He said, now my illusion is gone, and now I remember what to do by your mercy. Now, my mind is fixed, my doubts are gone, and I'm ready to follow your instructions. Mercy means we get the knowledge we get the knowledge of what to do and what not to do. So mercy means we get instruction. How does Guru give mercy? By giving instruction. By hearing that and by following his directions, we become purified. It is a fact that as Lord Chaitanya is great mercy that we can be delivered by chanting Hare Krishna. But we shouldn't think it cheaply like the Sahajiyas in Bengal. They think we can chant Hare Krishna and eat fish, and we will get the mercy when we chant Hare Krishna. They don't get any mercy. They simply misrepresent the cause of Lord Chaitanya. We should not misunderstand what this mercy means. Become purified means we have to do some work. We have to do some work on cleaning our hearts. We have to chant Hare Krishna very seriously and sincerely. That will clean our hearts. Now that I sleep till 10 o'clock in the morning, get up and go Hare Krishna. And then that's my spiritual life mission. It's not so easy. Operation is a little directly on the upper. Bhakti means to be fully attached to Krishna and fully detached from Maya. That may take us millions of lifetimes to do. By Lord Chaitanya's mercy, if we are very serious, we can become fully purified even in this lifetime. But if we're not serious, then we can go on for millions of lifetimes and we won't get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is ready to give us unlimited mercy. But we have to be serious in Krishna consciousness to receive that mercy. Otherwise, why do people go away after coming to Krishna consciousness? If it's such an easy, cheap thing, then everybody who walked in the door should just stay and never go out of it. But they don't. So many leave after taking to Krishna consciousness. They don't stay. They leave, even if they're not serious. So this is a very big mistake to misrepresent. That we shall just take this mercy very easily. This is the point of my lecture. This is that you have to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness very properly and apply it with determination in your mind. Hare Krishna.
The deliverance from material desire is reached by mercy or austerity.
This is the classic philosophical religious question. Do we get love of God? Do we become advanced by God's mercy on us or by our own endeavor? In the Catholic Church, in the Christian faith, this has been a cause of the path of faith and the path of works. There's a division. And even in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, the Sampradaya is completely split into two on this question. Split into two. One group follows monkey philosophy and the other one follows cat philosophy. Because the monkey, if you see the monkey, the baby monkey holds onto the body of the mother. And the mother monkey runs here and there. Whereas the baby kitten, what happens? The cat comes and picks up the kitten. Picks by the... So those who say that we have to make our own endeavor to become purified, they are followers of the monkey philosophy. The baby monkey has to hold on by himself. But others say we just have to wait for the mercy of God. Just like the cat, the kitten doesn't ask, but the cat comes and grabs the kitten. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that our Indoya Vaishnavism our position is neither cat nor monkey. Yeah? The actual position is explained by another example. This is the example. If a man is fallen in a well, he cannot go up by his own ability. But if someone throws a rope to him, then he can come up. When the rope comes down, he has to hold the rope and climb up, then he can be delivered. So the same thing applies. Without the mercy of God, we cannot be delivered. If we simply try by our own endeavors, we can never become free from them. Just like the man who's stuck in the well, he may be able to climb up a little bit by his own endeavor, but again he'll fall down. And again he may go up a little bit and again fall down. He has to get the mercy in the form of the rope coming down. But when the rope comes, he has to hold it, and then taking the rope, he has to climb up with a lot of hard work. Then he can be saved. So in the same way, we cannot be delivered without the mercy of God. But taking that mercy, taking advantage of that mercy, we have to work to become purified. This is the proper understanding.
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Arjuna says, Krishna says to Arjuna, I will deliver you knowledge because you are not envious toward me. How to become free from envy?
That's the whole position of devotional service. Beginning of devotional service is to bow down. Beginning of devotional service means to bow down, to become humble. That's why in Krishna consciousness we recommend offer obeisances, just to make us feel more and more submissive. So one cannot even begin to approach Krishna consciousness unless he has the mood of submissiveness. People who are already inclined to be non-envious of Krishna, they come to this movement. So already that tendency is there with everybody. That tendency to surrender to Krishna is there with everybody here. But still, we are mixed up with envy, desires for material enjoyment, and so many things. So this whole process of Krishna consciousness is meant for purification. You couldn't even start this Krishna consciousness process unless you were somewhat free from envy. Now, to get fully free from that envy, we have to practice Krishna consciousness very seriously. This whole process of Krishna consciousness, Chaito Dharpana Marajanam, cleanses the heart. Envy, how does that manifest? Now, every living entity is supposed to serve Krishna. We don't serve Krishna because we are envious of Krishna. So we should apply ourselves very seriously to devotional service. This will free us from maya. And especially, we're talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. If we preach Krishna consciousness, this will help us to become free from it. Because if we are envious, we cannot preach. Of course, even a great neophyte can go out and sell a few books. But if someone's going to go on in the service of distributing books, distributing prasadam, and distributing the holy name, he has to develop a sense of compassion for the fallen living entity. That means becoming free from envy. So, in our present position, if we quickly want to become free from envy, then we should dedicate our lives to this preaching movement. Try to give Krishna consciousness to others. If we don't try to give Krishna consciousness to others, it means that we also have envy of others. So, preach. Speak about Krishna. Give Krishna's books to others. Ask people to chant Hare Krishna. Is it a fact? We feel ourselves blissful when we do these things. That means that Lord Chaitanya is becoming free. He's giving us his mercy. We're becoming free from envy. So we have to go on throughout our lives doing this. Any other questions?
Does it mean that even great neophyte should preach?
Well, if he's a really great neophyte, maybe he shouldn't preach. Or at least he should only preach within what he knows. He can say, Krishna consciousness is wonderful. And if anyone asks him any question, he can say, well, I'm just trying to find out myself. You go to the temple and ask them one question. But if you just tell others, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you may be a great neophyte, but what you're saying is 100% correct. And the neophyte can preach so many ways he can preach. In God, and Harinam, Sankirtan. Even just going out dressed in your tilak and dhoti, that's preaching. I know many of our Russian devotees have a severe allergy to going out in tilak and dhoti. But that is also one kind of preaching. People will see and they will think, oh, these are Hare Krishna people. And they may ask you, what is this funny dress? You can tell them, this is Hare Krishna dress. Just like we saw at the train station at Tambov. So many people came and asked, if we were dressed in Kami clothes, no one would have asked us anything. So there are so many ways you can preach right from the beginning. And we should try to pick up that mood from the very beginning. That's my good. But we should also, from the beginning, start to study the book so that we can present the Krishna conscious philosophy properly. And if you do start to preach seriously, then you won't be neophyte very long, that's for sure. But if you think, now I'm preaching and I don't have to learn from anybody, I'm already advanced, then you remain in it. So you should be a preacher and a student at the same time.
How to understand if the guru satisfied or not by the satsang?
You can ask him. Any other question? One thing is, if you're eating meat and drinking wine, then don't ask him. And if you're not chanting your 16 rounds, don't ask him.
What it means to be sincere?
Sincere means to have this desire that I only want to serve Krishna without any material motive. Now, we may have that desire, but because we're conditioned for so many lifetimes, we may still be affected by Maya. But if our real life's desire is to become a pure devotee of Krishna, we seriously endeavor to become pure devotees of Krishna, that is sincere. If our real life's desire is to become pure devotees of Krishna, and if we seriously go towards that goal, that is sincere. And if we think, oh yeah, Hare Krishna, that's okay, all right, I'll try it for some time, and if I don't like it, I'll just go back to my old way of life. That is not sincere, insincere.
How to consider who is more advanced than we are?
That we have to see, the Shastra gives so many symptoms. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Nectar of Instruction, Srimad Charitamrita, this is all discussed. One thing we should, and our basic attitude is to be respectful to all the devotees. Anyone who is engaging in Krishna service, even if they're not so advanced, they're glorious. Even if they're weak, the fact that they're trying is wonderful. We should respect them. So our basic attitude is to respect every devotee. At the same time, we should discriminate which devotees we want to associate with more so we can make more advancement quickly. So the symptoms of advanced devotees are given in Shastra. To see who is enthusiastic, who is determined, who is trying to chant his rounds very nicely, who is very seriously trying to serve Krishna. These kind of devotees we should try to serve Krishna. We shouldn't condemn anyone who's trying in Krishna.
Question about yourself. Can you describe
what can I say? There are millions, billions, trillions, zillions of conditioned souls within this universe. So this particular one was, by some causeless mercy, came across the dust of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And somehow or other, stuck to that dust. So that's my description. Tomara Karuna Shah, that we sing, Gurudev Kripa Bindu Bhiya Kara Vedanasa, Srina Pekka Atihi. He says, oh Gurudev, give me a drop of your mercy so that I may become understanding what is my real position, lower than a blade of grass. Then he says that if I examine what are my qualities, if I go through the whole account, I'll find the sum total is zero. That's what you know, Taka was saying. I can analyze my qualities and find negative balance. So what am I doing sitting on this big seat and talking such big words? That means, Tumara Karanasha, whatever I'm doing, that is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise I was just another of the millions and zillions of foolish idiots floating through this universe.
He was asking about what sometimes we are trying to perform our service, but we are searching some easy way and what to do, how to consider what is actual service, what is not according to our facility, capabilities.
Don't get too much on the matter. We have service to do. We should do it.
И нам нужно его делать.
Do it as nicely as we can. Prabhupada said that if something's worth doing for Krishna, it's worth doing properly. If something's worth doing for Krishna, then it's worth doing properly. So why look for an easy way? Rather, if we have the flaws at least, instead of thinking, let me do it easily, let me just finish. Rather, we should think how I can do it in the best way. In Vaikuntha, all the Lakshmis, they're all busy cleaning. Every day they clean everything. There's no dust, there's no dirt in Vaikuntha. Anyway, they're thinking how to make it more bright and shining. So that is the service move. We're trying to find an easy way that means that we've not got the right service attitude, we won't be happy. If we try to avoid service to Krishna, we won't be happy. But if we have some service and we think, how fortunate, the chance to serve Krishna. We do it very nicely, thinking, how fortunate we are to be able to serve. And we pray to Krishna for the ability to do it very nicely. Then we'll be blissful. Is it not? You can all say from your practical experience. Is it not? When we're seriously trying to serve Krishna, then we feel very happy. And when we're trying to avoid serving Krishna properly, then we'll never feel happy. So our own mind can be the test. It's just you make a decision once in your life, firmly, forever. From now on, there's no going back, only going forward. So now my life, I have nothing else to do except serve Krishna. So make that decision, then you won't have to think all the time, from this side, backwards, forwards, constant, forward only. And even we made that decision to go forward, still, sometimes we slip back a little bit, our direction is fixed.
In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that those persons who are leaving their body during daytime, they never return back. Does it also apply for materialistic people also?
No, it says the yogi leaves his body.
In other words, that materialistic people, they can leave their body in daytime, but they again,
everything depends on your action. If you die in the daytime, and you're sinful, then you get a lower destination. It depends on your work.
Зависит от вашей работы.
Maybe it's the last question.
Is it proper way to ask about our problems, to pray to deities or to spiritual masters?
Definitely. Dear Krishna, please help me. Yeah, we have so many prayers like that. There's the Gopinath. How's that going? Vishwajana, Sradhara Kamalata, the whole prayer, Gopinath prayer. Gopinath Thakur is teaching us how to pray to Krishna. And I'm so fallen, please pick me up. There are so many prayers in the we can, certainly we should, must pray to Krishna. Hare Krishna, all glories to Sri Krishna.